Beautiful. Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra, doesn't it? Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we would like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. The Churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We are neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at this same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own homes if you live in a country that's not free or there is no local Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own local community anywhere in the world. Why don't you call us at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123. And visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, dash is a key, like a hyphenated word. Again, that is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website in broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home and get some singing in your life? Or call us at 214-821-2123. And you can also email us by visiting our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Yeah.
like to welcome our worldwide radio audience to the worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. We'd like to welcome all of those in North Texas and ask you to be sure and come next Sunday, the 25th, to our barbecue picnic, our annual barbecue picnic on our parking lot. That's next Sunday. Make plans. Come and be a missionary at the Main Street Church of Christ. Take I-30 to Peak Street, just past Fair Park. Exit Peak Street, go north about 3 blocks, and we're on your right. It's real easy to get to, right off of I-30. So that's next Sunday, October 25th, at our annual barbecue picnic on our parking lot. We are happy to welcome our worldwide radio audience, and we want to ask out there in radio land, if there's someone that is tired of seeing their contribution go to Professor Smart and his new Cadillac, we have an offer from a broadcast company that will broadcast us for $100 a week, will broadcast us to all of North America, all of South America, all of Europe, all of Africa, all of the Middle East, all of Eastern Europe, Ukraine, and Russia for $100 a week. If you pledge that, we can broadcast the gospel to everywhere but the Pacific. For another $100 a week, we can broadcast from Papua New Guinea to all of the Pacific, India, Indonesia, Malaysia, China, Mongolia, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, and all the Pacific Islands. And for an additional $75 a week, we can broadcast to China twice. So if out there in radio audience, if there's somebody that's tired of seeing their money wasted on buildings, preacher salaries, and sometimes preacher salaries aren't a waste, but sometimes there's some guys that are fat cats. You know there are people out there that's got brand new Cadillacs and airplanes that don't need them. I drive a 1995 Buick. So if you're tired of seeing your money wasted and you want to give your contribution to souls, Main Street Church of Christ, contact us. Call me at the office. We'd be glad to talk with you. Our website is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. If we can get these broadcasts right here, we'll be broadcasting to the whole wide world 5 times, and we'll be broadcasting to China 7 times. We're in Matthew chapter 6. Please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We've been studying the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But the one that I really liked the best is, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And I told you last week that great poem from Shakespeare, from The Merchant of Venice, and I'll tell it to you again. The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth from heaven as a gentle rain. On the place beneath, here on earth, 'tis twice blessed. It blesses him who gives and him who takes. I'm telling you, it blesses the person that pays for Madagascar, and it blesses the people in all of China and the Pacific who hear about Madagascar. It blesses the person who puts some money in the plate here and we buy a sandwich with it. We feed 3,000 meals a week. Mercy, there's nothing like it. The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth from heaven as a gentle rain. On a place beneath, here on earth, 'tis twice blessed. It blesseth him who gives and him who takes. 'Tis mightiest in the mightiest. It behooves a crowned monarch better than a crown. Mercy will get you everywhere. Always be merciful. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. This word alms means righteousness. Take heed that you don't do your good deeds or your righteousness of men just to be seen. Jesus condemns outward piety, doing things just for a show, just to be seen, and he singles out 3 illustrations of his meaning. The Christian is not forbidden to practice righteousness before men, but he is forbidden to make it an object to be seen.
Matthew 6:2. Therefore, when thou doest thy alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thy alms, this is the first of three examples. This is the wrong way of the hypocrite is now described. The Greek word hypocrite, rendered hypocrite, means a theatrical actor, one who acted in a theater, one who's not for real, but just really acts the part. Their method was to give alms outwardly as a show. At many places, they have people, oh, bring your gift down here to the altar. You know, bring it down here to be seen. Bring a big gift down here and be seen. There's places that they say, lock the door, lock the door. There's not enough money. We're going to pass the hat again. Y'all know a snake. I mean, he don't have to rattle for him to be a snake, does he? Only some snakes rattle. Did y'all hear about that cobra that got loose in Florida? They finally caught him. Boy, it'd scare me to death if I seen something like that. I've got a sign in front of my house that says, beware of a tax snake. And it's an official looking sign. So kids ask me, they say, mister, is they really a snake in them bushes? I tell them, yeah, they sure is. I said, and when he bites you, he won't let go till he thunders. And so don't do things as an outward show. In our age, the world rings with the praises of people who've got plenty of money. When they give an outward show of a few thousand dollars, it's a big deal. They give big dinners, and they make big deals of fundraising events and all kinds of things. And I guess that has its place somewhere, and maybe some good comes out of it. But I'm wondering which one of them preaches the gospel three times to all the world right now. I'm wondering which one of them feeds 3,000 meals to the poor and homeless right now. I mean, they have these big dinners and they raise all this money, and all the people in the missionary societies, every one of them have got an office and a secretary and a big Cadillac. And I got a 1995 Buick, and my secretary's a volunteer, and I type with two fingers. The world's silent concerning the humble ones who've taken from their necessity to give to the same cause. There are some people here that are not rich that are giving to the radio work that makes the radio work possible. We had a doctor that was giving us $200 a week, and the doctor lost his job, and he called me and he said, Kelly, I can't continue to give as I've been giving, and so I've got to drop out of that. And that next Sunday, God sent a man, and he asked me, he said, can I get a tax letter for my contribution? And I said, yeah, we always write a letter for any gift over $240. By law, we have to write a letter and thanking the person. He said, well, my contribution's $800 a month. And, you know, I knew that he was sent from God. I'll never say who we're talking about, but I know he's sent from God. God, we lose $200 a week, and God sends $800 a month. It's the same thing. What are you telling me? There's no such thing as accidents. Do you understand? Not when you're working with God. It's part of His providence. It's part of His eternal purpose. God wanted the broadcast to go on. Now, this person's broadcast pays for the broadcast that we're doing through WWCR. We couldn't do that without it. Isn't it amazing? There's one lady that pays for another broadcast. There's other people that pay for broadcasts. All these broadcasts are pledged and paid for by people, individuals. Y'all feed the poor here. That's all we can do. We're a poor church. Our contribution is about $1,000 a week. It's really nothing. So, therefore, when thou doest thy alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites. This seems to be a proverbial expression to denote the making a thing publicly known. The meaning is that you give to the poor, don't make a show of it. Hypocrite in the Greek, again, was an actor. actors wore masks. Actors appeared to be somebody other than what they really were. So too are religious hypocrites. Verse 3. But when thou doest thy alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret. And thy Father, which is in secret, shall reward thee openly. A strong expression to indicate that there must be no publishing of our alms deed, that thy alms may be in secret. It's not concealment that's required so much as to avoid an outward show of it. Openly means in the open place in the Greek, and it means the last day when every secret thing will be made manifest. Let me tell you how it's going to be at the judgment. You know, Christians are all going to stand before Christ in judgment. But our judgment is going to be a judgment of reward. If we're a Christian, we're saved. So the only question then is whether we're going to get a reward or not. So Paul talking about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Paul had started the church in Corinth, and a man named Apollos has come, and he started teaching at the church in Corinth. Paul isn't at Corinth anymore. Apollos is there. He's teaching there. And another, Apollos, in other words, buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, on that foundation. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. No other foundation is there but Jesus Christ and the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I was sick one time, and there was a man here that, you know, the Bible says, love your enemies, and I tried to love him. He was an enemy of mine, and he considered himself an enemy of mine. I didn't consider him an enemy. I followed the old mafia code, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. So I've got him real close. He was a trustee and a deacon, and he got to stand before this church every Sunday and speak. When I was through, he had a place of exalted authority, and so I was sick, deathly sick, one Wednesday night, and he called a special meeting of the men across the street, and he said, we got to get rid of Kelly. He's not preaching the gospel. And Bernie Woods told him, he said, you know something? You could have probably told us anything else and we'd have believed it. But you dumb idiot, he draws it on the blackboard every Sunday. See, I didn't used to have this. I'd draw out a big long line and put a cross up there. And he says he draws it on the blackboard every Sunday. How can you accuse him of that? No other foundation can any man lay than that which was laid, Christ Jesus our Lord. He was so embarrassed, he resigned and went away, and he's never amounted to nothing. Everybody who's been in a place of leadership in this church that's pitched a fit over nothing has amounted to nothing ever since. And I'm sorry, but they wouldn't get along. If you can't get along with me, you can't get along with your own mama. Because I'm an easy person to get along with until you try to sucker punch me. And then it's once bit, twice shy, and I'm going to deal with you. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Some of you guys out there are a gem. Some of y'all are gold, some of you are silver, some of you are a diamond in the rough, some of you are just wonderful, and some of you are not for real. You're wood, and you're hay, and you're stubble, and you're an actor, and you're a hypocrite, and you're a liar, and you're lying to God, and you don't really believe, and you're not really wanting to be a Christian at all. But most of you, I believe, are gold, silver, and precious stone. But I want you to know, God knows the wood and the hay and the stubble, and he's going to get you. Look what it says here. Now, if any man build upon this foundation of Jesus Christ and him crucified, in other words, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Now, what do you think fire does to gold? Well, it just purifies it. What do you think fire does to silver? Well, it just purifies it. What do you think fire does to wood? What do you think it does to hay and stubble? It burns it up. So in the judgment day, some of you are going to go through the fire and you're just going to be made pure. And some of you are going to get burned up. All the hypocrites are going to get burned up. That's going to be the great separation there at the judgment day. Shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, for it shall be revealed by fire, and a fire shall try every man's work. My work, that's who y'all are. Y'all are my work. I'm your father in some respects in the gospel. What sort it is. Now, if any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Man, that's wonderful. I'm going to get a reward someday. I've chosen not to take my pay down here on earth. I've chosen to take my pay in eternity. And Christ, the Bible tells me that those who lead many to righteousness shall shine like the stars forever and ever. And I believe it and I trust God for it. And I know that He's going to give me a reward like you've never imagined. Can you imagine? I've been to a luau at Waikiki Beach and it's going to be better than that. I've been everywhere. I've been to Fort Worth, Woolworth, and Leavenworth. I've seen everything. But I've never seen the glory that's going to be revealed when I get paid up in heaven for so far 22 years of work in which I could have honorably took a salary, but instead I drive a 1995 Buick. And that Buick's got cold air conditioner. God, thank you. Woo! Man. If any man's work shall be burned up, he'll suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. So in other words, if you're gaming, if you're really not for real, and you're burned up on that judgment day, I'll suffer loss, I won't get no reward for you, but I'm going to be saved. That don't have anything to do with my salvation, because you're a phony, doesn't have anything to do with me. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to come to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. There's 1,000 sermons on there, 1,000 written lessons, 1,000 links. There's everything you need to know to get a college education. Out there in radio land, is there somebody that's tired of seeing Professor Twiddly D.D. and his Twiddly D.D. ride around in a new Cadillac at your expense? You could take your contribution. We need someone with $100 a week who will pledge $100 a week to broadcast this gospel program to all of North and South America, all of Europe, all of Africa, all of Russia and the Ukraine and the Middle East. We can get every bit of that for $100 a week. For an additional $100 a week from somebody else who'd like to give $100 a week, we can broadcast from Papua New Guinea to China, all of Indonesia, all of India, all of Malaysia, and all of the Pacific. We can get an hour at 4 o'clock in the afternoon to China. And for an additional, somebody else out there in radio land that would like to give $75 a week, we can broadcast to China on a different Asian station twice on Sunday. So if you're out there and you want your money to go to souls here, 100% of your offering will go directly to souls. You know, most people give to a nonprofit organization and maybe half the money is spent to do good and the other half spent for Cadillacs and all. Here, 100% of your offering will go to souls. Every cent will go directly to the radio station for broadcast time. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. We're beginning verse 5. And when thou prayest, be not as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Prayer is a second example of the right and the wrong kind of righteousness. that men ought to pray is assured, but the wrong way is the way of the hypocrite who makes a public show of their devotion. You can look at the Wailing Wall in Israel right now today, and you can see Orthodox Jews who pray repeating over and over and over again the same prayer. Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Shema Israel. And then over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, they say the same thing, and they're bouncing to it to the rhythm, because the Psalms are written in rhyme and rhythm, and so you can bounce to it. You can almost dance to it, see? And so they're bouncing to it, and they're saying the Shema. It means, "Hear, O Israel, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind." And so we're told not to do these things on the street corner to be seen. So the Pharisees took pains to make public places where they could strike an attitude of prayer in the sight of many observers. So you'd want to get at the corner of, say, Central Expressway and Northwest Highway and make a big show there. Or get out here on Main Street and make a big show. Well, God says don't make a big show of you praying. Do it in secret. The same spirit seen still often among people. It's like the Lord's Prayer we'll get to in a minute. Verse 6. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut that door, pray thy Father which is in secret, and the Father that seeth thee in secret shall reward thee open." By the closet, private devotion is meant. This is not designed to prohibit public prayer and worship or assemblies. The Lord Himself both prayed in the mountain alone and in the night alone and in public presence of His disciples. We have records of many prayers offered by the apostles in public assemblies. That closet means any private or secret place. Peter's closet was on the housetop when he prayed and saw the vision in Acts chapter 10, 11. And the Savior was on the mountain alone. Verse 7, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they should be heard for much speaking." What is forbidden is not much praying, nor praying the same words, the Lord did both, but making the number of prayers and the length of prayers or the time spent in praying a point of observance or merit among men. The heathen Baal worshipers did the same type of thing. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 26, "And they took the bullock," this is the Baal worshipers, "which is given them, and they dressed it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon." Now this is from early morning to noon, saying, "O Baal, hear us." But there was no voice nor any answer, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. This is an example of heathen praying. These people worshiped Baal, and Baal was a god that had two hands, and you built a fire under them two hands, and you were supposed to burn your baby in them hands. And so they'd leap around, they'd put masks on, and they cut themselves, and they did all kinds of things, and they chanted over and over and over, "O Baal, hear us, O Baal, hear us, O Baal, hear us." And there's no such thing. Elijah killed them all. He killed 400 of them right there. They had a big contest, had one fire over here for God and another fire over there for Baal. And no fire happened from Baal, and God lit the fire. Fire from heaven came down, lit God's fire. And Elijah told the people, he said, "Kill them all, don't let one of them escape." And they killed 400 prophets of Baal, 400 baby killers, 400 baby murderers. We don't need to kill them today, but what we need to do is make sure that they don't have the authority to murder any more children. Muslims and Catholics still hold that there's merit in repeating or chanting certain prayers a set number of times. Say 5 Hail Marys and 2 Our Fathers, or 10 Hail Marys and 10 Our Fathers, and you get forgiven for just about anything if you pay enough money. But you got to have the money. There's a price on every bit of it. "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him." You mean God knows that I need healing from this aneurysm if I'm going to keep preaching and doing right? Yeah, he knows that. Lord, would you heal me? And so I don't really need to just keep begging him. You know, I've asked him, and if it's his will be done, I think that he has, I trust him that he has a perfect plan for my life. But every life comes to an end. And it's somebody else's turn. So if mine comes to an end, I beg y'all stay together and support the trustees and the leadership of this church, because they're all proven good leaders and they'll all do their best to keep this thing going, this wagon in the middle of the road. And pray for me that the Lord will give me another year or two and I'd like to be able to continue preaching for a while. Here's given the reasons for prayers. Many prayers apparently aim to give God information on matters concerning this world that he already knows about. And so, Matthew 6:9, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This is not what to pray, but how to pray. The Savior does not bid us to use these exact words or command any set form, but he gives this as a proper example of prayer. The Lord's Prayer is found in Matthew 6 here, but it's also found in Luke, and it's a little different in Luke. So if the Lord was giving us what to pray, it would be the same thing. It'd be exactly the same words. But he didn't make it the same words to show us that this is not what to pray, but this is how to pray. So always remember that. Our Father which art in heaven. These words reveal a very tender relationship between God and a true worshiper. And it is the base of all the petitions that we make. Just like a child speaks to a father. Hallowed be thy name. Of the seven petitions of this Lord's Prayer, the first three are in behalf of the cause of God. The glory of his name, the extension of his kingdom, the prevalence of his will. And the other four, which were properly placed last as least important, pertain to our individual needs. No one can offer the first three petitions who's in disobedience. Hallowed or holy, sacred or revered is your name. Verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. The Messiah's kingdom had not yet come when he preached this, but was proclaimed by the Lord as being at hand. In Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. In Matthew 4:17, Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. It's real close. At hand means that you can reach out and take my hand. It's that close. The kingdom of heaven's at hand. It did speedily come on the day of Pentecost in A.D. 30. But its fullness and its final triumph over evil has not yet come. And for this coming, we may now pray. And the prayer is answered in part by each success of the gospel. Every time somebody in the world helps and becomes a Christian, somebody helps us preach the gospel to the whole wide world, it's all helping. Every bit of it's helping. Do you know that we helped a guy get baptized? He was living in the sticks in Canada. He called me and he had chickens in his living room. That's how far out in the country he was. He had chickens in his living room. And he asked me, he said, I'm going to a Baptist church down there and they won't baptize me. He said, when the creek thaws out, can I go down there and baptize myself in the creek? And I said, well, I guess you could, but I'd really rather see a Christian do it. I said, do you ever go to city? He says, I go to Montreal once a year. And I said, well, next time you go to Montreal, I said, you call me next week and I'm going to have a name of the Montreal Church of Christ. And so I get a hold of Montreal Church of Christ. And so within 6 months, he goes to Montreal and they baptize him up there. Can you imagine that? That's how far out in the sticks our radio program goes in North America and Canada. We've had people contact us from Africa, from all over the earth people contact us. We get emails from all over Africa, from every place. We get contacted from all over people hearing the gospel and the kingdom coming in their life. None can pray this and not merge their own wills with the divine will of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it in heaven. He in effect prays the same prayer Gethsemane when Jesus said, not my will but thine be done. It's mockery for disobedient lips to utter such prayer. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. We're told to ask for our daily bread, not for future years, but for this day. So help us get through this day here. We'd like to ask our radio audience, those in North Texas, please come next Sunday to our barbecue picnic, annual barbecue picnic on our parking lot. Take I-30 to right over by Fair Park, exit Peak Street, go about three blocks north, and we're right on the right, right at the corner of Peak and Main and Old East Dallas. If you get lost, give us a call. Call me on my cell, 214-552-3206. We'll come fetch you. If there's anybody out there in radio land that'd like to pay for the broadcast to Europe, we need your help. Any of you'd like to see your contribution go to pay for China, we need your help. Any of you'd like to see your contribution go to pay for two more broadcasts to China, you get in touch with us. Every cent of your money will be spent on souls, not on us. Matthew 6:12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our debts as we forgive, or just like we forgive. Oh, no. I always use this as an example. You mean, Lord, that I got to forgive that rotten, no good cousin of mine who's got my daddy's 1940 Mercury? I have to forgive him just like I want you to be forgiven? Forgive me? Yes, I got to forgive him that way. How do you forgive a rotten, no good cousin that's got your 1940 Mercury? I mean, a 1940 Mercury is worth $25,000, $30,000, $40,000. There's no telling what that's worth, $50,000 today. How do you forgive something like that? One, you don't think about it. Two, you put them on the pay them no mind list. Three, you pray for them. And four, you forget them just as soon as you possibly can. And as God is my witness, I never think of him nor that car except to use it to you as an example of how to forgive. You forget it. You shine it on. You have one choice. You can either kill the punk or you can forgive it. Now, 35 years ago, I made up my mind not to kill him. If you'd have looked at my background, the devil was counting on me killing him. The devil knew I'd kill him. The devil knew I'd kill him because I've always dealt with everybody that offended me. But this time, I'd been to the foot of the cross. This time, I had met Jesus. This time, I forgave the punk. Can you imagine me doing that? I can't imagine me doing that, but I did it. You can do it. It's not that important. Shine it on. It's better. What would have happened if I'd have killed him? I'd have got caught. I'd be doing a life sentence right now in prison. I'd have been right. He had a killing coming for stealing my 1940 Mercury, but I'd have been doing a life sentence. Don't avenge yourself. Turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile to be at peace with all men. Do your very, very best. Don't pick on nobody but bullies. And forgive us our debts as, just like we forgive our debtors. Debts means moral obligations, unfulfilled, shortcomings, our sins. Let it be noted with emphasis that God is asked to forgive us just like we forgive us. We ask, in other words, that we may be meted out to us exactly what we measure out to others. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation. But deliver us from evil, from the evil one. Because I'm telling you, Slewfoot has a trap for you. Slewfoot has a trap for you. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lead us not into temptation. The thought is that God may preserve us from the temptations that might lead us astray. Shepherd, like a shepherd, lead us. Father, please lead us and take us in a way that there's very few temptations, because I am really weak, Lord. I'm really weak. I have a bad temper. I'm weak for wild women. I like ice cold beer. Cocaine is really good. I like all that stuff. All of the sins of the flesh I'm really weak for. Don't let me be around none of that stuff, Lord. Don't, in your leading me through life, don't let me encounter that, because I'm so weak for it. I'm telling you the truth. And as God lives, 22 years I've lived as a Christian since I started preaching here. And I've avoided those things. I've avoided all those things. I don't drink beer. I don't fool with wild women. I don't even look at them. I can't look at them. If I look at them, I'll go to trailing one. I'm really weak. I'm no good. And I'm telling you, you are just like me. Don't you tell me you're not. Don't you tell me that you don't have a weak time. I counseled a couple yesterday, and I told them, I said, y'all have to have a decent sex life at home. Because 1 Corinthians 7 teaches that it's to avoid fornication that you have a sex life in marriage. And if you don't have a decent sex life at home and in your marriage where it's holy, the marriage bed's holy and undefiled before God, if you don't have that at home, God's going to send her a Prince Charming. God won't do it. The devil will do it. You need to pray that God keeps y'all together and gives you a holy union, and you can avoid these temptations. And so I'm speaking plain with you. We're not a bunch of children here. The children are in the children's class in there. We're all adults here. I'm teaching you about godly things. This is how you live a godly life. I want you to be saved. I don't want you to burn forever and ever and ever. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. This clause, thine is the kingdom, is called a doxology. Verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. That's a deal. That's a deal. I forgive that cousin. I don't even think about him. And you're my witness, God, that I don't think about him. I don't even think about that car. I don't even think about it. Don't enter my mind except when I use it as an example. It's the extreme example to me, because it's as close as to murder as I've got in the last 35 years. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Just that simple. If you want to be forgiven, you got to forgive. And so that's just the unforgivable sin. There's no other unforgivable sin. It's just that. You can be forgiven for anything that you've done wrong except not forgiving others. Verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to fast. Verily I say unto you that they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head, wash thy face, that thou mightest appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father which is in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. This is the third example of not doing your righteousness before men. Fasting is to miss any meal. So you do it privately between you and God. And you try the best way to fast is to say, well, Lord, I'm not going to eat breakfast this morning. And I'm going to spend that time in prayer. Or, Lord, I'm not going to eat lunch today, and I'm going to spend that time in prayer. Or, Lord, I'm not going to eat supper, and I'm going to spend that time in prayer. Or, Lord, I'm not going to eat the whole day. breakfast, lunch, or dinner. And during those three times, I'm going to spend that in prayer and reading the Bible, and it's just going to be between you and me. And so that's the way you privately fast, and you don't tell people, oh, hey, listen, I'm fasting today, and so I can't do this and I can't do that. This is my high holy day. Anoint your head, that means dress as usual, wash your face, do everything that you generally do prior to eating, wash your hands just like you were going to eat, and then go fast. Verse 19, lay not up for yourself treasure upon the earth where moss and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through to steal. God forbids piling up worldly goods for worldly purposes. Riches are not a sin. God needs rich people. God needs rich people. He needs rich people to further the gospel. He needs rich people to help get the gospel out to the whole wide world. Rich people are necessary in the kingdom of God. There's nothing wrong with being rich. Just don't worldly things with your riches. Matthew 6:20, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust is corrupt, nor where thieves do not break through to steal. Our wealth must be consecrated to God and used for His work. So why don't you think about the radio? We'd like to ask our radio audience to come to our barbecue picnic next Sunday on our parking lot. We have an annual barbecue picnic, and we'd love to have you come and be our honored guest at our annual barbecue picnic. And we're going to have a real good time and great fellowship. And out there in radio land, if there's somebody out there that's tired of seeing Professor Smart live in a mansion on your buck, maybe you'd like to pay for a broadcast to all of Europe, or maybe you'd like to pay for one of these broadcasts to all of China, or maybe there's three different broadcasts that we're trying to get into China. So if we get these things, we will be broadcasting to the whole wide world five times and to China seven times. Let's do it. Let's conquer the world in 2016 for Christ. Matthew 6:21. But where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is a universal truth. A man's heart is set upon what he treasures the most. Matthew 6:22. For the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is thy darkness? If these be darkened, if your mind and your conscience and the light of your soul is darkened, how great is that darkness? You can't even know what's right and wrong if your conscience and all those things are darkened. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters, neither he will hate one, love the other, or else he will hold the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Please go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. There's 1,000 sermons, 1,000 written lessons on there. Verse 25, wherefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet of your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and body more than raiment? You know something, I was down here one Thanksgiving and I served 400 meals. Years ago we used to do that when I was younger and could do that. And we'd cook turkeys, I'd cook so many turkeys, I'd cook dressing, and we served every bite. Every bite of food went out of here. Every person ate, every soul ate, and I'm leaving and I got a box in my hand and I'm leaving. And a homeless guy walked up and he said, am I too late? I've served all this turkey and I haven't had one bite of turkey or dressing. I hadn't even tasted it. And I said, you're hungry? And he said, yeah. And I just gave him my box. And I went home and boy, I was rubbing my eye. And my neighbor came over, knocked on the door and said, do you want some turkey and dressing? So we cooked a turkey, we got turkey and dressing. God will take care of you if you do the right thing. He'll really take care of you. Take no thought for your life. Verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Verse 27, which of you by one thought can add one cubit to his stature or 1 minute to his life? Verse 28, and why take ye thought for your raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and how they toil not. Neither do they spin. Verse 29, but I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. 30, therefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye of little faith? 31, take no thought of saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Whereof shall we be clothed? 32, for after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth what things you have need of. But first seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you, and I'm giving you that chance right now. The righteousness of God is found in the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you believe that gospel, there's no reason for you to be lost. You just march right down to the front. You meet me right down to the front down here. You can repent of your sins. You can believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You can confess Christ as Lord, repent of your sins, be baptized into Christ, and have all your sins washed away. Won't you come now while we stand and sing?
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, he can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.